afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us at tonight's Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex
Allen! All right.
Wait a second.
Wait.
Wait a second. Where's
Justin Tyler and Alex Allen?
Hey, guys.
No.
Very helpful, Bootman. Thank
Pete's
you.
Pete's not here tonight.
Pete's not here today.
Sorry, right, guys. I know. That's
he's out punching a baby or something. Yeah.
He's protesting.
He's the funny one.
All right.
Whoa, come on. That's...
Speaking of the not funny one, that's our man in the booth, Bootman.
Oh, yes. Slam. You turned that on.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Slam.
Do it again. I dare you.
All right, later.
So
Pete's not here today. That's our order of business out of the way. Thank you so much for coming to Comic Book Club Live.
Just a little news for you.
Here's some hot news for you. Pete isn't here. That's it.
God, the blog's going to be on fire tonight. This guy's taping it. God, where is it going to be?
Yeah, well, he's with PeteFans.blogspot.com. Yeah. Anyway, we have a great show for you guys tonight. We're very excited about it. We have an awesome team of writers who are also individual writers, if you can believe that.
They're two separate humans who team up as one, like Alex and I. Hey, what the fuck?
Nothing. I'm just going to betray you all night.
Yeah,
all
right,
I'm very excited to introduce our guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Fred Van Lent and Greg Pak! Alright. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Again, you've both been here, but separately before. Oh, you having a good time?
Yeah.
Alright.
I'm gonna have my own little good time over here. Food bag grapes!
Yeah, no, I'm gonna have a good time over here too. I always do.
That's creepy.
Cool, you wanna do the show or what's going on?
Oh, shit, yeah, let's do it.
So we've had you both on separately, but since then you started working on a title called Incredible Herc together. How did that end up coming about? I mean, how did you guys end up getting hooked up and writing a comic book together?
We got called by, I was writing Incredible Hulk, and at a certain crazy point in time, the universe shifted out of gear, and the Incredible Hulk became Incredible Herc. But before that happened, there was, I'm getting my story all mixed up.
You're doing good. This is a lie.
And I'm just going to sit here.
And when I was 12,
during the course of this Incredible Hulk storyline that took place during World War Hulk, the epic summer event of 2007 that stretched into the fall, but we won't go there. There was a whole new supporting cast for the Hulk, which included Amadeus Cho, Boy Genius, who assembled this crazy ragtag band of heroes who were crazy enough to side with the Hulk during World War Hulk. They were the Renegades. And I had this, you know, crazy idea, of course, of doing a Renegade spinoff book. Nate Cosby, who was the editor, who was working with me on that, said, "You need a co-writer." And I said, "Okay." And he pulled in Fred, and I had known Fred's stuff
from
the Scorpion book that he did for Marvel. And
who was originally supposed to be one of the members
exactly.
of the Renegades,
right, I guess. Exactly.
Like, sort of the inspiration there.
Nate hooked us up. We talked and hit it off, and we started working on this pitch, and then eventually Marvel decided that there were probably too many team books at that point. And we were like, oh, shucks. But then a couple weeks later, they called up and said, guess what? Incredible Hulk's going to be Incredible Herc, and you guys are writing it. And it was going to be a buddy book.
So they just told you that?
Well, no, it wasn't quite exactly. Well, yeah, it kind of was, actually.
Actually, it was exactly like that.
Wow.
I'll take you
pulling the string.
Well, but they told us because they knew it was the news we wanted to hear.
Even though we didn't know that ourselves.
Yeah. We had to take power over it, take control over that.
And the idea was that we would take these two principal characters from the Renegades, Hercules and Amadeus Cho, the brains and the brawn, both crazy as loons and up for anything.
That's the way we think of ourselves.
Yeah.
So which one of you would be which one of you would be Hercules then?
Yes.
Me.
Yeah, that's probably actually a pretty good point.
And so the two of you are Amadeus Cho.
Yeah, we're both.
Between us, we have a normal person's IQ.
Yeah, true.
Excellent.
We're split evenly down the middle though.
So and Incredible Hulk was born, and it's just been a ton of fun.
One of the great things I think about the series for me is I'm a huge Greek myth nerd, and you guys, for the first time, I think, with the character, usually Hercules is like, I'm the funny drunk, yay, and that's all that happens.
I hit you now.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, I mean, working in the Greek myths, I think for the first time, at least, that I've seen with the Hercules character, was that a conscious effort on your parts to sort of take it beyond being a hilarious, strong, drunk guy?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know anything about the Marvel Hercules, so that's the first place I went to was, like, my dusty Edith Hamilton paperback that was sitting neglected on my shelf for, like, 10 years. And I was reading this, and I was like, oh, no wonder these were so popular. This is really great stuff.
The Greek myths, you mean?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is great stuff.
Page-turners.
Those crazy Greeks. And it was really fascinating, and I thought we were so smart for having incorporated this, but since sort of the series got ramped up very quickly, and since then we've looked at a whole bunch of other Marvel comics, it turns out, like, at least in the last 20 years, everyone has incorporated the Greek myths in some manner in the old comics, and I thought we were so smart, but...
The nice thing is that the Greek myth... I mean, the Greek myths totally reinforce why Hercules is the perfect character to take over the Hulk's book, though, because, you know, the Hulk is, in the Marvel Universe, the character who epitomizes the lesson that, you know, untrammeled rage leads to tragedy. I mean, and that any human or any mortal who walks this earth and has that much power, that there's this insane danger associated with that and almost inevitable tragedy that accompanies that.
I hear that, man.
And, yeah, I know. It's hard, you know, when you walk...
Some of us live in every earth
splits
right?
apart. Those old Greek myths are fantastic because the Hercules in those old Greek myths is basically the Hulk of his day. I mean, and he shares this... I mean, the words used to describe him are almost exactly the same as the words used to describe Hercules in the Marvel Universe. He's the strongest one there is. He's, you know, he's prone to fits of rage, and people loved him and feared him in a lot of similar kinds of ways. The awesome thing is that now in the Marvel Universe, Hercules, he's been around for 3,000 years, he's mellowed a little bit, he's learned a little bit, and so he lets us kind of play with these Hulk themes with a kind of different tone. It's almost like the you know the slightly more comic version of those stories, you know, which is an interesting way to play it.
Well, and you Cho as well, who actually in many ways is even more out of control than Hercules is. So it's almost like Hercules has to be the voice of reason.
Yeah, which is also kind of that's another kind of fun twist too on the Hulk setup. With you've got Rick Jones, who's always trying to, you know, calm the Hulk down and, you know, and take him out of trouble, and, you know, Amadeus Cho is, you know, the plucky.
Let's smash more stuff! Come on, board! Smash that over there!
Yeah. And I mean, you also have, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but sort of a General Ross sort of thing going on with Ares a little bit, which also, I don't know if that was just a lucky coincidence of having that character. For those of you who aren't reading it, Ares is actually Ares from the Greek myths, but he's on the other side, essentially, from Hercules, and working kind of as a general opposing him. So is that something that just sort of fell in your laps, or?
Yeah, well, it just seemed like a, you know, not wanting to have to work too hard to create stories. since the setup at the end of World War Hulk was that he was essentially, Hercules was captured by S.H.I.E.L.D., who works for S.H.I.E.L.D., Ares, who's an Avenger, who's Hercules' brother, and those two just don't get along, unfortunately. And this was just not going to work, and then, you know, the whole plot line...
Yeah, it's kind of
basically wrote itself.
Yeah, it writes itself, and we get paid.
And we're not giving it any of our money.
Exactly, it gets paid nothing. It's fun when things like that just fit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's almost random. You know, I mean, Hercules in the Marvel Universe is almost a random thing. You know, and the fact that you know, like at this point in time, I mean, it's not random that we built up Hercules. You know, that we have been building him up since the giant-sized Hulk back during the Planet Hulk run. Mm-hmm. And Mark Paniccia, the editor of the Hulk books, he said, we want to use Hercules, and he gave me the challenge to make Hercules cool.
You make him sound like such a nerd.
Yeah. Mark loves to challenge us.
Yes.
Anyway, I challenge you to come up with a cool way to use Hercules.
Exactly.
So you feel like a Pokemon.
awesome.
But
as soon as I started working with Hercules during those tie-in books, it was a ton of fun. But then in the end, it's just it is serendipity that Ares had been set up by, you know, with Omin and Bendis first in the mini and then in the Avengers book, to be on the other side. You know, and Hercules and Ares have a rivalry that dates back 3,000 years. So, yeah. I mean, like, those kinds of things, that's the serendipity that just totally feeds the whole thing. It just works. So, and I think part of it is also just, like, myths are myths for a reason. I mean, these myths, they affect everything. They affect all of our stories, even if we've never read them. And so when you go back to those original myths, you find resonances with almost probably whatever kind of heroic story you're trying to write. So on that level, I mean, if we were writing a book about a character who was not named Hercules but was a kind of, a heroic character, you'd probably find the same kind of resonances. But yeah, it's nice when it's actually the same dude, and right. We can say so in the book, yeah.
Let's briefly talk about some of the other stuff you guys are working on. Fred, you wrote the series that we love called Action Philosophers, which is awesome, which essentially took philosophy and broke it down into its bare essentials in comic book form, right?
Yeah.
And now you're working on comic book comics?
Yes, comic book comics, which is the history of comics as a comic.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if you open my brain, I probably just say comics over and over and over again, so it's definitely a... something I'm looking forward to it finally coming out.
Awesome. When is that coming out?
It's coming out the first week of March. We put it to bed. We sent it to the printer this week, so it's really exciting. So the first issue covers, I think, 1896 to like the late 30s. So, unlike Action Philosophers, which is sort of more biography, like we have different individuals, this is much more of a linear progression to the history of the medium. And so each sort of story is its own topic. What we like to say is, if we're not blacklisted by the end of it, we're doing something wrong. Nice. So you heard it here first.
I don't think there's a blacklist.
So we're telling, the first rule about the comic book blacklist is you don't talk about the comic book.
Oh, wow.
We're
going to be on it, yeah.
we're telling it like it is. Comic book confidential is what this is.
Awesome.
And we would have called it that if it wasn't already a movie.
Greg, you're working on a bunch of sort of Hulk-related titles, or sort of Hulk Fallout titles right now, right?
Yes. Or as we prefer to say in the biz, the After Smash titles. Oh, nice. And clever there.
Are you sick of the Hulk?
No. I love the Hulk. Deep down.
Do you still talk?
Yeah, we do. He calls every once in a while.
Awkward.
Depends on, I take his calls, it's hard. It always is hard.
Yeah,
calls got wrecked.
Yeah.
Is he like, why no talk to Hulk?
Miss Greg Pak.
It's sad that you talk that way because he doesn't. And it's hurtful to him. And even though we're not together the same way that we used to be, I still feel like I have to speak up when I hear people treat him that way.
Hulk's pillow spills smell like Greg.
I'm writing the Warbound miniseries, which follows the Hulk's alien gladiator companions as in an adventure right here on planet Earth, post-World War Hulk. They're trapped beneath the deadly dome of Gamma World, where the Hulk enemy, the leader, is now, he has some nefarious plan that they must foil or will they? Are they monsters or are they heroes?
Oh man,
check it out!
Yeah,
and then I'm writing Scar, Son of Hulk, which is going to follow the adventures of the savage Son of Hulk on the savage planet of Sakaar, where things are very savage.
Savagely savage.
That'll come out in the spring, the first issue of that. And then Fred and I are co-writing Hulk versus Herc. A giant Titanic smash one shot.
That's smashing.
Yes, exactly. Smash with the Titans, if you will.
Oh,
that's a Fred line. So I stole it from him shamelessly.
Fred line?
Yeah, it's wow. A forget.
This just in.
So, that's going to be a big one shot that comes out in April, I think. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Giant size.
So it seems like you guys are pretty busy.
When can Hulk pick up stuff in Greg Pak's apartment?
All right, it is time for the stack. First issue we are going to talk about today is the latest issue of Amazing Spider-Man, number 548. This is the end of the first month of the brand new Day storyline. How do you think it's holding up?
This has been hard to really judge this on its own because this is after they broke up Peter Parker and MJ. So it's still kind of, they're very abrupt and they're like, he's been kissing other people, men and women.
JJJ?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's been hard to judge it on its own merits. But it's not a bad, I like Dan Slott's kind of twist on everything.
Yeah. Have you guys been reading this at all?
Well, when you spend all day writing superhero comics.
Right.
I watch sports and PBS. When the day comes to the end, I gotta tell you, it's very hard to sort of read and follow the comics for fun.
PBS.
A lady in a Chinese pastry shop recently said something very similar to me.
I can imagine.
Should I explain
that? She has
that?
No interest in eating Chinese pastry.
No, I think you've said it all.
No. I went in, and it was this ridiculous pastry that I don't even remember what it's called. And I was like, there were a couple of different flavors. And I was like, which one do you recommend? And she looked at me, and she's like, I don't like any of them. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, if you work at a steakhouse and you eat steak all day, every day of your entire life, you don't like steak. And I was like, all right, I'll take that one.
I feel like we should go rescue her after the show.
And then she said, get out.
She did. And the pastry was gross. So I'll just mention that. So
wow.
That was unfortunate. But that's not about Amazing Spider-Man, which is good. It's good. I think it's solid. Pete, who sadly cannot be with us today, I think made actually a very good point about this, which is...
Huh. We were surprised, too.
He was basically like, I have something to say about this. Like, I don't know who's talking out of you right now.
The funny thing was, Pete said it to Alex, and Alex was like, to me, he said, Pete said something really interesting. totally betrayed the fact that we're like, oh, yeah. Usually he just growls and stuff.
That's
a bone. We throw up a bone in the corner.
Pete's very good point, though, was that you have this whole storyline, which is like, we have to save Aunt May. The only way of doing that is breaking up with MJ, and this entire storyline had little to nothing to do with Aunt May whatsoever. Yeah. So that it's all this build-up, and then you don't get to actually see what it's for.
Well, who likes Aunt May, really?
Me?
But like the purpose
she
of
her chameleon.
Yeah, well, that was another one of those things that they're like, what? She killed someone. She's frail. She's been frail since day one. Bones sticking out of her arm, and now to have her like
biting the bones.
He's so hungry. Well, the only purpose she serves in the story is for Peter to be like, oh, Aunt May's gonna be in trouble soon, or like I gotta get home because Aunt May's gonna wonder where I am. It's like you could have that anyone fill that role.
I will say, on its own merits, I really like this arc. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I think they had a lot of fun with it. It definitely, as more time passes, I think people will get over the whole one more day thing, is my suspicion. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He's still carrying a torch for the Hulk, and I think he's going to carry a torch.
I thought that was the other way around.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a Spider-Man title that we really like a lot, and we mentioned before. It's Blue Beetle number 23. Which is bringing together pretty much the first 23 issues. there you go.
It's the next one after the 22nd one.
It's before the 24th.
Yeah,
issue.
Yeah. That's what we have to say about that. So,
cool. Blue Beetle is awesome.
Yeah, it's a
really,
great,
really great, really well done. Great art, very emotional, very funny.
It seems like I always say this, but it's like the Spider-Man of the DC universe, where it's a young hero who's like. He's interesting and has a bunch of turmoil and is in a new environment, just like Spider-Man used to be back in the day, which is what they're trying to recapture with this.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that's very nice about this writing, I would say, and I'll contrast this with an issue we're going to talk about a little bit later, but this is set in Albuquerque, and it's mostly Hispanic characters, but nobody's like, ¡Ay, Dios mío! At any point, which in the title we're going to talk about later, Blue Beetle says all the time. But it's very well written, it's very well rounded, can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on to talk about X-Men 207, which is wrapping up the Messiah Complex storyline. How do you feel this tied up?
It was good. It's weird. It's been a long story arc, and then setting up, and this kind of rebooting the whole X-Men, X-Universe, and all that. But in the end, not to spoil it, but I will, Professor X gets, like, you don't know this, Professor X gets shot.
No!
Yeah, right?
Well, this is the ridiculous part about
it. Didn't you just get shot?
Yeah, a little bit. just with a teeny tiny of bullet.
He gets shot in the head, and then everyone stands around being like, ah, that's too bad.
Pretty much for like three pages.
And they're not like, gee, we could probably help him.
Yeah, we're all these guys with all these powers.
They're like, it's time for a new era of the X-Men.
And then the next page, so it's basically
they don't
like,
even bury him. I mean, that's
no, they don't bury him. They just like lay him there on the ground, all gathered around in a circle, not touching him. And then the very last page is a preview of upcoming issues, where it's like X-Men Legacy, and it's what becomes the world's most powerful telepath after his mind has been shattered by a bullet. Find out here. So there's really you know.
So he's probably not going to be dead.
No, probably not so much.
They love to. They're always like, he's so powerful, and then like, but he's in a wheelchair.
It's
this time it's going to be, he's so powerful, but now he can't speak. He gets you on the head.
And then he'll be able to speak, and then his legs will stop working again, and then he'll start working again, and then like his head will fall off. All right, let's move on.
It's going to be a crazy ride, though. What's going to go wrong next?
Check out Professor X's Head, coming soon from Marvel Comics. Crime Bible, Five Lessons of Blood is a great, great series following the New Question. You like
I love it, yeah. This spun out of 52, which is a series that everyone hated. And everyone's like, this is the worst thing ever, until Countdown came out. And they're like, wow, what were we thinking? This is the worst thing ever. And so it's sad to see 52, the actual number on the cover. What a much derided number it is. Yeah. But this is a great series. It's really just smart and like rich. And it follows this character who's, there's this crime Bible, which is like the opposite of the regular Bible. It's about
it's
how
like
to
the
be
Bible,
bad.
But backwards.
Yeah, it's bad, and it's written in blood and like on skin or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It tells
like
you how
hair sticking out. Of
yeah,
it.
Gross hair.
Moles,
and
moles.
Toothpaste stains. You know,
it's
stuff
like,
you hate.
It has a cup of coffee that's been sitting out for like 5 hours and is a little lukewarm.
When you read it, you have to drink it.
Yeah.
And the cream's all lumpy.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, crab bite.
So. But it's really good. And in it, the question's trying to track down, like, what's the deal? Like, why are people following this religion of crime? And it's been slowly going through each of the main sins, and this one's about murder.
Yeah. It's great. I think the thing that I really like about what Greg Rucka is doing with the series is that each issue works on its own, even if you're not reading the whole series.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you're reading the whole series, it builds together really nicely. So.
Sadly, there's only one more issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the sales have been good on this or not, but I'm hoping it keeps going in some way.
We'll see. Let's move on, talk about the Ultimates 3 number 2 by Jeff Loeb. The art is great in this.
That's a nice way to give him a compliment.
Thank you.
The art's fantastic. Joe Madura, who was a big deal back in kind of the mid-90s, used to do X-Men, and now he's been kind of sleeping for several years, I guess. I don't know.
He's like the Rip Van Winkle of comics.
Yeah, he wakes up, what should I do today?
Shapes
his
beard.
Long beard. Yeah, yeah. Cartoon movie. We're so alike. We're so alike. But the writing sucks on this.
Yeah, kind of.
What do you guys know about what do you think about the Ultimate Universe in general, I guess?
I had only just got caught up with the Millar stuff, which blew my mind. I read some of the early stuff and finally picked up the trades and loved it. But I've been too busy writing, so I haven't caught up yet, so.
What he said.
Nice. Cool.
You know what they say, those who can't read, write.
And those who can't write,
host a comic
teach
book
gym.
Show. Yeah, host a comic book show.
It's actually, that's the biggest problem with this, I think, is that it's following up Mark Millar's stuff, which was...
I think it would suck on its own. I'm not afraid to say bad is bad, and this is bad.
It's just every single issue of Mark Millar's run was ridiculous, over the top. Every single issue was built around some sort of crazy set piece that you've never really seen before. And this is one, I think it's like five issues, six issues, something like that. It's one mystery that's over the course of a couple of issues. So nothing really happens at any point.
Yeah. There's some fighting, there's some sex.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's boring.
Normally I like that stuff. But in this, it's like a Wildcats, like a badly done Wildcats arc. And I don't know.
Were there a lot of well-done Wildcats arcs?
Well.
I didn't read Wildcats.
There were a couple,
okay,
yeah.
Right. That was actually an honest question.
I know, you were like zinging me.
Yeah, I was zinging you, but also asking an honest question.
Oh, man, how do you do it?
I don't know.
You love and hate at the same time.
Speaking of loving and hating at the same time, that's a perfect segue into Teen Titans.
I just give you love. I just love.
And you're like, whoop, and I'm like, psh.
Yeah. Was that basketball? Or what
game? I don't play sports.
It was like a slap fight.
I love Teen Titans, and I really like Sean McKeever's writing pretty much across the board. This issue was awful.
Yeah.
Just really, really terribly awful. And he's written several... This is, I think, his fourth issue of Teen Titans. Previous three were fine. They were fun. He brings a lot of, like, he's sort of the, hey, young characters enjoyment guy a little bit. And
that's stupid. You mean he's stupid?
No. No, I don't. I actually really usually like what he writes. And in this, the dialogue is horrifyingly bad.
Oh, yes. It's like it was written by someone in their like high school like science class where they had to like they wrote three lines and were like, oh, I gotta pay attention. And they're like, where was I? Oh, and it's like giggling and doodles. It's like the characters are running around having little like, hey ho, oh, and running around.
Yeah,
it's obnoxious.
And I mean, this is the issue that I was talking about, whereas Blue Bio being like, ay Dios mío, all the time running around.
That's another thing that bothers me, is it seems like he doesn't use what the characters stand for in their own books. He just kind of writes them how he wants, and it makes it real herky-jerky.
Yeah, the other thing about this issue, as you can see from the cover, Robin and Wonder Girl have been kind of hooking up a little bit and going on dates.
They're making out behind you.
Oh, yeah. But she's crying. You can't see it, but she's crying, because... Dead Superboy is in between them. I don't
dead
know.
Superboy.
Well, okay. Why can't they just? Maybe you guys can answer this a little bit.
Sure.
But, why?
Have you ever made out over a dead body?
Can we answer?
Not the two of you. Not the two of you.
Oh, no, then.
I love that you had to think about it. You had to think about
then
it.
Then the answer is no.
Okay.
No to which part?
No, us. We can make out before.
You can't make out.
Over a dead body.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
There's two parts to that question.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a silly question even, or a silly point to make, because I kind of know the answer, but why do they feel it necessary
to,
like...
Let us mind the curtain, Alex.
But, and I'm not even going to ask. No, I'm going to ask. Constantly they set up, like, new relationships in comics just to break them up 3 issues later when absolutely has nothing happened between the initial hookup and the breakup.
What's all this makeup breakup? Damn.
Well, you know what I mean, though? I mean, there's no development of the relationship most of the time.
Yeah, well...
you have to read between the lines.
I blame Mephisto.
With Mephisto? Wow. I think it's just like, it's kind of an easy way to be like, I want this character to be sad in a couple months. Why don't they start dating each other and then they'll be sad?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that when people are getting along in a relationship, that's not dramatic. That's fairly boring.
Yeah,
drama is about conflict, so if people are, I want to get with you, but I can't, and now I'm with you, well, when I'm with you, who cares? I want to get back together again, or rather get split apart again. So I think maybe that's though maybe it should take longer 3 issues, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. Maybe there's problems with Dead Superboy. Maybe Dead Superboy is still leaving messages on her cell. I don't know.
It's
that'd be creepy.
It could be common.
It's the plot of P.S. I Love You.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Are there a lot of movies coming out now about cell phones? Anybody?
Or One Missed Call? Was that
Untraceable. I'm like, really? Our cell phones? Like the writers are like, guys,
you know,
don't
you know
see?
What it is?
Everyone has a cell phone now, so they're going to want to watch a movie about it.
No, I think it's more things like Untraceable. It's like... The internet is scary and bad. And that's pretty much as far as they
it's some guy, like, since 1991, is like, I've been trying to get my script Untraceable produced, and finally, in 2008, it's coming out.
Well, I like the idea that someone had a script about a house phone, like a landline, and they were like, oh, I'll just make it cell phones now, and it'll sell. And then it did.
I'd like to see a horror movie about Wikipedia, where it's like, you check your Wikipedia, and then it's like, this is how I died. And it was like, oh no, wait, I didn't edit it that way.
Killipedia.
Oh!
Homopedia.
Killipedia.
That's our idea.
Yeah.
Alright, let's move on and talk about the latest... issue of Astonishing X-Men, which is technically the last issue of this run, except then there's another issue. by which I mean that they were like, we're going to do 24 issues, and then at the end it was like, stay tuned for giant-sized Astonishing X-Men number one, coming sometime.
Yeah. Giant-sized expensive.
Yeah. That being said, this issue is amazing.
It is
absolutely amazing.
They've been setting up so much. This is by Joss Whedon, Alex's secret boyfriend, and he's been setting up so much through his run, and this is where it's like all paying off.
Yeah,
on this other planet.
I would say, actually, just to tie into our previous discussion about relationships, what he is doing. You guys want to talk about relationships more?
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde and Colossus, they're together now for the first time, and they do have stuff that is coming between them, but they're having a complex relationship and dealing with the fact that rather than just like, I secretly love you, now that they're together, what happens?
Yeah.
And I think he's doing an amazing job with that.
On top of that, they're on a planet where Colossus is supposed to destroy it. And so, I mean, that's a hard... I don't have to deal with that in my relationship a lot. A lot. Some, but
some,
a lot.
A little.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm trying to help, but all I can do is pass through solid objects.
That so, is a lot like your relationship.
Yeah. I know.
All right, anyway, Astonishing X-Men is awesome. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on and talk about Superman Confidential, which is the final part of Tim Sale and Darwin Cook's arc, which started with issues 1 through 4 and ends at issue 11. So how do you think it tied up?
Great. Yeah. The great team. The art's amazing on this. I finished reading it, and it's a great story as well. I finished reading it, and I look at the next issue box, and it's like a bunch of guys wrestling Superman. It's like, oh, man. What a bunch of shit to go back into. After a great issue, it's like, what's Jimmy Olsen going to do? It's like, well, God, this is such a nice story.
Are you okay?
I'm upset about it, because I was like, oh, man.
Anyways, yeah, it's great. I mean, they're both great.
Enjoy what you have.
I'm trying. But there'll be no more of it.
Yeah, there's no more. This is the last of their run on the title. I think... It was a little tough for me to get back into it after 8 months or whatever it was since the last issue.
Yeah, I did forget kind of what happened.
Yeah,
for a while.
It's going to read great in trade, and it's going to be a really nice story there.
Well, especially when the story picks up and it's like a giant piece of kryptonite kind of is alive, and it's a man that Superman is nice. So Superman's like, I want to be your friend, but you hurt me when I see you. And and so it's like, oh, is that where the story was? Or I don't remember.
There's all the stuff that happens right at the beginning. I was like, I don't know who any of these characters are.
Yeah.
But definitely pick it up when it comes out of trade, which I'm sure it will do some point soon. Last issue we're going to talk about today is The Order number 7. Why aren't you guys buying this?
You ruined this book.
You
they just
ruined
canceled
it for
it.
Us.
They just
you guys, canceled it. You guys in the audience canceled this book.
This is going through the camera out to the internet, right?
Yeah, literally. This series is ending with issue number 10, unfortunately, and I think it is great. If there's... I don't even know if it's possible to save it at this point by more people buying it. I really don't know what we could do here.
Wait. Believe in the grassroots here. If these people tell one or two other people, that's like 12.
Yeah.
If those 12 then have other friends.
Yeah, all you guys got to do is pay it forward, right?
Oh, that's wow. Nice.
Thanks. You guys like that movie, right?
Philosophy.
This series...
But did you cover Pay It Forward in Action Philosophers?
Issue 5.
Yeah. Deep stuff, yeah.
Yeah, The Order is great. It's covering the California team and the initiative in the Marvel Universe, and it's super intelligently written.
Yeah.
It's very, very dense in terms of what goes on every issue. There's great action sequences. There's great intrigue. There's great continuing storylines.
But I can see if Pete were here, he'd be like, it sucks, because it's a lot of words, a lot of panels. Like, Pete likes big panels with guns and, like, bullets and blood holes.
Yeah, he's a big fan of guns and blood holes.
Yeah. Well, one leads directly to the other. Yeah.
Our next series, guns Blood Holes.
And it's just like...
After we copyright that Horopedia. What was it called again?
The murder... The Killopedia.
Guys, right. That's calendar. All right.
You guys want to do. Two on this couch, Mike.
All right, well, that's it for the stack. All right, it's time for our next section, which is your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Booth Bad.
Hey, dudes.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, great. Here's some questions. What?
You're so casual.
What? It's my superpower.
Being casual is your superpower?
And casuality.
It's hard in New York to manage.
That's true.
Okay. What are your favorite previous Hulk runs/writers?
Nice.
Excellent. Bill Mantlo is one of my just childhood heroes. I loved Bill Mantlo stuff when I was a kid. And his run on the Hulk is awesome. He did the Crossroads storyline on the Hulk where the Hulk was... one other time when the Hulk trashed everything and was exiled to this time to the Crossroads, which was an extra-dimensional portal whereby the Hulk would go to a bunch of other dimensions and possibly try to find a place to be. But Mantle had a lot of great, just crazy ideas, a lot of heart, and I just loved his stuff. By the way, shameless and sad plug, Mantle was hit by a car in the 90s and suffered brain trauma and is now... is in care, you know, needs care now. His brother sort of manages that and accepts donations. There's a book that was put out by David Yurkovich, a tribute book to Mantlo. And I think the website is sleepinggiantcreations.com, but that book benefits Mantlo's care and all that, so not to bring the tone down, but you know, if you dug the Hulk, if you dug Mantlo, or if you dug his runs on such tremendous properties as ROM and Micronauts.
Love ROM the Space Knight.
Yeah, and if you want to throw some props to the creator of Cloak and Dagger, then you know, feel free check out Sleeping Giant Creation. Sleeping Giant Creation.
And the Rangers, right? Didn't they premiere in his Hulk run?
I don't know, actually.
Oh, yeah. So
you might be right. You might be right.
The Texas Rangers. The Texas superhero.
Yeah. The baseball team.
What about you? What's your favorite?
I really like Bernie Wrightson wrote and drew. I think he wrote. Maybe it was Jim Starlin wrote an amazing standalone graphic novel with the Savage Green Hulk and the Thing, where they go out into outer space and have wacky adventures. Yeah. And he drew that. It was amazing and sort of a heavy metal type style.
Yeah,
heavy metal.
Yeah, it's completely off the charts. Insane.
I have it at home.
Oh, and it's also worth plugging. Marvel just released a big, fancy hardcover of Peter David's two of his most beloved Hulk stories, the Hulk the End story and the Hulk Future Imperfect story. I think they're both together.
Yeah, both great.
Big hardcover.
Yeah.
I love the old, when Peter David did the Pantheon. Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorite runs.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys have already said pretty much everything I was going to say. I've been like, well, I'll say Crossroads. Oh, no, you already said that. And then I was going to say the whole thing one, and then you said that. But I think I think it was Peter David and Tom McFarlane, when the Hulk gets blown up by the leader with the gamma bomb, and then he's dead, and then he eventually comes back as Mr. Fix-It.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Awesome. Love that stuff.
I also love the Hulk Loves Greg Pak one-shot.
Oh yeah, I would have mentioned that, but I don't even acknowledge it.
It's too personal.
It hurts.
Yeah.
I did write it though.
Yeah, you're making a fortune. I'm feeling it.
Next question.
Nice. Yeah. If you could be written as any character by any comic book author, who would it be? Who would the author be? I guess.
Wait, if what? If we could be written?
If you could be any character be written by any comic book author.
Any writer?
Wow, that's a complex question. If I was a make-believe person, who would I want to describe my action?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Cool.
I don't even know how to begin to answer that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's like, if I'm written as a character, I mean, am I just basically saying who I would like to see write? A character, or like what part of
Well, I guess I'll answer the question. You're gonna love this because this is the same answer I always give.
This is gonna be nerdy. You sit down.
But
because think something really cool right now, because this is gonna be really, this is gonna be super nerdy.
The first thing that comes to mind is Cypher from the new movies. You knew what was
you're
coming,
such
right?
Such a nerd.
One track, whatever.
I don't know if I overexplained this, but Cypher's power was translating languages. Something that many people on Earth can do. And also a dictionary can do that. And Alex wants to be this guy. Also, he was like the nerd of the X-Men. Everyone's like, shut up.
I just wish I didn't have to go to Babblefish all the time. That's all
I don't even know what that is, but it's now also nerdy.
Anyway, and I don't care who would write me.
What would they write? Cypher tackles German. I don't know, but that's what
I
would do.
I picked the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, totally. Because when you look realistically at superpowers, it's like, what am I going to do with super strength? You know what I mean? Get hunted down by the military and locked up and studied for the rest of my life. But if I could, wouldn't it be cool to be able to speak every language on the face of the earth?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
And then I'd learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
That would be cool. Nerdy, maybe.
Wait, okay. I got one. Martian Manhunter. Because he can basically do everything.
Yeah, he's a good...
I don't know how I look today. Nope.
But
now I'm somebody else.
Deathly afraid of fire.
Yeah, that's true.
I
want to be Martian Manhunter, but written by a therapist who could cure me of my pyrophobia.
Here's what I'd say, though. Do you know who also is afraid of fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Human beings.
Human what?
I'm not afraid of fire.
You
mastered fire.
Yeah, I don't want to touch it, but I'm not like, whoa, what's happening over there? I know what a flame is, and I like get close enough to warm myself, but not too close to burn myself. All
right, fair point. What's the next question?
Oh, man. Oh,
okay.
What? Oh, here we are.
Where did you go?
Yeah.
I was lost.
Yeah, big, question. Long text good you have in
words.
Front of you?
Yep. What is your favorite labor of Hercules and why?
You guys answer.
Oh, us answer?
Huh?
Really?
I don't know if I know all of them.
The only thing I can remember offhand is him taking the place of Atlas. Did we do that?
Yeah.
He fought the dog. He fought
the dog.
Getting the golden apple.
Sarah,
we
hit a dog.
Yeah, the stables, nobody likes this.
Nobody likes stables.
What do you do? You clean them?
The one I actually like is not actually a labor, though. I think it's pre-labor. It's just
that's
contraction.
You beat me to it.
is the Nemean lion. Was it the Nemean lion?
I think that was the first one, or the second.
Oh, yeah, because there's another lion that he killed before the Nemean lion. He kills multiple lions. He's a lion killer.
Lion is an endangered species?
Hercules.
Back in the day, that was like a big thing. Like taming a lion. Now people do it all the time.
Yeah, but
you're like, I don't care about fire. Well, I'm taming lions.
I'm not saying I'm taming lions, but
everybody.
People have done it. Go to a circus.
Yeah, at a circus.
People tame them with a chair.
But who can translate for the lions?
Who?
Yeah, who I ask? I don't think Cypher could speak lions.
Yeah, he
could. How often is that?
Talked to a bird once.
He's Dr. Doolittle in a yellow jumpsuit.
Exactly.
Was that what put you over the edge? Felt made you fall in love with the powers when you talked to a bird? Cinderella does that. How do you feel about having her powers?
This is a Disney Princesses Club.
Yeah.
But
you
want
it.
Was, I wish it was. Then I would say I wish I was Cinderella.
Wait,
your
agent said he was booking us on Disney Princesses Club.
Don't go. We're going to talk about Disney princesses in a second.
I love the label where Hercules drank a lot.
That's
a common one.
Not a
labor. It's a joy, is what that is.
Yeah. All right, that's it for your audience questions. All right. Our next section is trivia. And for that, we would usually turn it over to Pete LePage, except this time we're going to turn it over to Justin Tyler.
Big shoes to fill. Tonight, but we do have some trivia, and because Pete's not here, we have shittier prizes.
No, this is actually a really good prize. I'm going to tell you guys about it. It's a book called The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wow, and it's actually worth as much individually as one of the gift certificates. It's an awesome book, which is about a multi-generational family living in the Dominican Republic, which wouldn't sound like it's appropriate for the show at all, except it's nonstop. Like, literally every other word is a reference to, like, Galactus and Lord of the Rings and everything else. It's written by a total nerd.
Who drew it? Slam!
Nobody.
Wait a minute. Could you show me the pages? Could you show the audience? Because it looks like there are no pictures in this.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is.
That's a regular novel.
Oh, they're signed, though.
Do they still make those?
This is the last one. That's why it's valuable.
They don't sell. That's why we have so many copies. Anyway, it's a great book, so it's going to be an awesome prize. And we have three of them.
So what we are going to do is, who wants to answer a question? Just raise your hand, because I'm going to ask three different people, since we have three prizes. So one of you, oh man, we should have saved the prize to the end. Yes, sir, in the back. Here is your question. During an attack by the, oh, this is about Hercules.
Sweet.
Right. During an attack by the Masters of Evil, drunk Hercules is horribly beaten by A. Goliath, Mr. Hyde, and the Wrecking Crew, B. a mind-controlled group of heroes for hire, or C. his inner demons, including shame, alcohol abuse, and sexual dysfunction.
B.
It's actually A.
Oh. Wow, Pete, you don't do this like Pete.
No. But you get the prize anyway! Oh! That's the way I do it! It gets crazy! All right, who wants to do another one?
There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah! Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
This is also about Hercules. Hercules is credited with creating the art of pancration, which is A, the art of hammer combat, B, the art of unarmed combat, or C, a lost form of sculpture using macaroni, pipe cleaners, and human feces.
I like C, but...
I have some of those sculptures at home. You can see them.
Going with B.
B is correct! B is correct! This book is better than the last one! And finally, one more! This one. Oh, wait, that was first year of the week. It's actually a girl, I think. Yes. Sorry, that's insulting. Alrighty. During World War Hulk, Hercules kissed A. Namora, B. Scorpion, or C. Bruce Banner, giving new meaning to the term Hulk out. Yes, that is correct! That is correct! And that is trivia! Thank you so much!
Good job. How'd that feel? Did you feel like Pete? It
felt weird. Yeah, I wanted to swear a lot.
Fair enough. All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown. What's going on? Oh. I suddenly heard voices.
Weird.
Yeah, I think it was birds.
Oh,
all right, we recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor this show. What are you...
Wow, the tech, he's going crazy. Right? We don't even see it. That's the thing.
What are you looking forward to? Let's...
A couple big issues coming out. Captain America number 34 comes out, in which there's a new Captain America. After Captain America died, Bucky is replacing him in this upcoming issue, and the big deal...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, that's Ned General, right? It's been covered in the news. The Daily News picked it up, a couple other news outlets, because Captain America now has a gun that he holds, and I think he shoots someone in this issue.
Yeah.
So, and tonight, Joe Quesada, the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, is on the Colbert Report talking about the issue. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And the issue should be cool.
Yeah. Big thing also coming out tomorrow is Why the Last Man, number 60, the last issue of the series, which is kind of crazy. I'm obviously not going to say anything about it, but 48...
Well, you don't know what
I don't know what
happens. Oh, don't be like... You're like, I'm not going to say anything.
I'm not going to say
pretty
anything.
Pretty awesome.
I'm not going to say anything about the series before this, because some of you are still reading it in trades, but it's awesome. I can't wait, and I'm also a little sad.
A little new fact about that, they're making a movie of that, and it was just announced today that it may become a trilogy. And that they have cast, they're in preliminary talks with Shia LaBeouf. The beef.
Shia
LaBeouf.
It's spelled burf.
No, it's spelled
Boof.
It's French for beef.
That's right, no, that's what I'm saying. Burf.
We'll talk about this later.
Why, you can't translate my words?
I'm good with languages.
Burp is how the French say it.
No.
Boof.
Boof.
Le boof.
I know French.
The Transformers dude.
Why don't we just say that, Transformers dude?
Yeah, that Transformers dude. He's going to be the next Tom Hanks, that guy. Yeah. He's everywhere right now. Everyone loves him.
Yeah, you mean eventually irrelevant?
Yeah, he'll only make NASA.
All right, come on, he's irrelevant right now.
Yeah, he's almost as irrelevant as Paul McCartney. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody agrees with you on that. What are you guys looking forward to that's coming out, and what do you have to plug?
Well, I actually went to the comic book store today, so that'll do me for the week.
Wow.
I got the black dossier and a couple other things that would like reveal stuff I'm working on. So. Like research. So
yeah.
I'm gonna keep it in the brown paper bag. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got you.
I think the Mighty Avengers 8, I don't really know much more than what I've read about in the previous, but I think Bendis has been plugging this as a tie-in to like World War Hulk and other things. So.
Is that the one that came out last
year? Yeah.
Year,
no.
It comes out.
We read it.
Oh,
yeah.
So
oh,
did actually read
right.
that one.
Special powers.
Yes, I mean, it ties into a bunch of things. It's basically like a lot of catch-up for the issue of catching that up to.
But there's a good reveal at the end. There's
yeah,
a good
it's great. It's fun.
Wow, I was just making fun of you for being a dick about that.
Oh,
now we just
stuff.
What?
So we're happy to plug other stuff.
Yeah.
If we're allowed.
Yeah, of course.
Go for it, sir.
Don't be shy.
Oh, obviously, we're in the middle of our After Smash arc, Incredible Hercules, and then after that, we begin a massive Secret Invasion crossover. That for those of you who are fans of Bob Layton's miniseries of Herc going off into space and fighting aliens, it'll be somewhat similar to that, and with guest stars galore. And I guess this isn't a big shock, but the Eternals show up in 116, and John Romita Jr. did a beautiful cover on that one, and I think he's doing covers for the entire.
I think he is doing covers.
So awesome!
Seeing more covers from the brilliant John Romita Jr.
And who better to inherit Arthur Adams?
Yes,
Mantle as our cover artist.
Exactly. Incredible Herc 114, which we just did final dialogue tweaks on today, comes out on February 20th.
Wow!
I think. And
a good memory for kids.
Warbound number 4 also comes out on February 20th.
Three.
Number three?
Three.
Okay, number three.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right, because...
Slam.
Yes.
Nice. Joe Posada in the back. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
He's got to be the show.
Yeah. Dude, you got to leave.
He comes every week. What a nerd. How long is Hercules going to be in the book? Is it, like, open-ended, or what's the deal?
It's open-ended.
Tell us the truth.
We're plotted out to 124. Wow. So, over a year, and they have not told us. You know, it's like... It's as permanent as anything else in comics.
We're not stopping. You know?
I mean, great.
Awesome.
Exactly.
No matter what happens, we'll just keep writing the story.
We'll draw it ourselves on like loose leaf notebook paper and go to the park. Maybe I will.
Go to the park?
Yeah, and start handing it out.
Oh, okay. No, you just, all right.
Like, well, we will not, like, our voices will be heard.
I thought you meant you were worried that you're going to take a slump in your life.
You're
like, well, go to park
think,
and sleep.
I guess that would kind of go hand in hand, right, if I was doing that.
Yeah.
That would be a slump in my life.
God, did you see Fred lately? Man,
he went to the park.
Yeah. Did you smell him? Jesus.
All right. We have an awesome show for you guys. Next week, we're going to have... Really? All right. We have Rags Morales on the show, who is the current artist on Nightwing, also did Identity Crisis and many other things.
Yes.
And Joe Kelly, who finished up a run on Supergirl and is also one of the creators of Ben 10, the television series. So they're both going to be on the show. That should be awesome. Also, check us out 2 times a week at pulpsecret.com. We do a show that's shorter and just us. You guys also do a show that's shorter than just you, so check that out as well. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Fred for being on the show. Fred!
Yeah!
Yeah! We want to thank John Gray, Midtown, and most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are here every Tuesday. Tell your friends, good night!
Good night, everybody! And I got 3 comics.
Oh, yeah!
Three comics.
Including the infamous Nomura Herc kiss, so don't you dare miss it.
Nice.
Signed him and everything. I got to...
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's great. So feel free. These are World War Hulk tie-in.